So there's a very famous interpretation from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal. The Rav says that Chazarat Hashatz is the tefillah of the tzibur. I'm sure you've all heard this many times.
Yeah.
So, and you know,
what is
having
it?
Having what? Having
that's not Shemek on it, and that it like raises the level.
Basically, the idea being that the point of Chazaras Hashatz is to have a tefillah mishutefet of the whole tzibur, in which everyone's a participant, and the major idea, you know, that very, very famous idea. And there are ramifications of it in terms of all kinds of things, in terms of how we do modim drabanan, etc. I'm not involved in all of the minutiae of it, but I'd like to just, I'm going to go through all of the rayas. There's a tshuva of the Rambam as well, which I think is relevant. But be that as it may, I just want to look at Mishnah Torah for a few moments and see what the Rambam says. The Rambam doesn't necessarily say what the evidence is, and how we might understand what it is that the Rambam does say, because I think that it has a very, very important, there's a very important idea here. And then we'll try to broaden the discussion of Tefillah Tzibur and Tefillah B'Tzibur and what that's all about according to various shitot that exist. Okay, then we'll see what ramifications that has for the Rambam as well. The basis, and I'm going to present this as best as I know. I'm not claiming that there can't be a more accurate version of what the Rav said, but as far as I understand, the foundation of this shita rests, this interpretation of the Rambam rests on two things that the Rambam says, and primarily what we're about to do. Perek Ten Halacha Gimel, B'achar She'apsiya Shliach Tzibur Shalosh P'siyot L'Acharav, V'yamod Matzkim Palel B'Kol Ram M'Tchilat HaBrachot Lotzi Emi Shelo Hitpalel. Okay? So, that in itself is very interesting, by the way. Okay? We'll see in just a little bit, but okay, let's continue. Ba'kol omdim v'shomim v'onim amen achar kol bracha v'bracha. So they quote the name of the Rav that ba'kol omdim v'shomim. Right. So why does everyone have to stand? Presumably because of the fact that everyone is considered to be davening Shmona Esrei on some level.
Oh, you have to stand.
What? I didn't say that. I said that's how.
Oh.
So first of all, there is Rabbi Yosef has a tshuva in which he discusses this issue, and he suggests he points out that I think it's the Ramah quotes the idea of standing for Chazaras Hashatz from I forgot what sefer, but a much more obscure sefer, and doesn't quote from the Ramah. So why is that? Because Vakol Omdim doesn't necessarily mean to stand. It may mean simply to be still, to be silent. Vakol Omdim Vishom may well mean just that you have to, you know, not be talking or whatever. Okay, that's one thing. But forgetting about that, let's assume Vakol Omdim means to stand. Okay? And I don't know if, you know, we can be certain one way or the other. Is really saying is just that the Rambam understood it that way. But let's look at this Rambam for a moment. So what the Rambam wants to suggest is that Ba'kol Omdim V'Shomim, right, is that everyone has to stand. They have to stand, it's presumably because on some level you're also davening Shmona Esrei, right? That's the argument. Okay. Similarly, fine. That's the main argument. For this reason, it is very common amongst Talmidim and Talmidei Talmidim, etc. of the Rav, to stand for Chazaras Hashatz. Okay, And not only to stand for Chazaras HaShas, but to stand Ki'ilu saying Shmon Esrei, right? Stand with their feet together, etc. Correct? All right, seen this? Okay. This is a very, grew up for many decades in YU, so yeah, I've seen this pretty commonly. And you'll find people do this. For a similar reason, right, even though this is not what it says in Poskim, similarly, they will typically, as Shliach Tzibor, wait to say Modim until the Tzibor has said Modim Dirabana. Right? Why? Because, after all, the Tzibor has to hear the whole Chazar Sashat. If they're saying Modim Dirabana, they can't, which is interesting because the source, and this is not an absolute right against, but it is interesting that the Gemara, what's the source for Modim Dirabana? So it's a Gemara in Sota, which says, right, there are different pieces, but the words of the Gemara says that it comes from the beginning of that sugya, it's Gemara in Sota, which says, or something along those lines. In other words, what is the whole point of Modim Dirabanan is it's what the Tzibur says at the time that the Shliach Tzibur says Modim. So now it happens to be, if you look at the other examples of similar things in Akamar and Sota, one could make a case for saying that Bishah doesn't necessarily mean simultaneous. You just mean at that point in the davening, right? So I'm not saying that's a compelling riot, but it is a little bit ironic that, you know, that's the whole source from Modim Dirabanan. And certainly Poskim in general, as far as I've seen, say, you know, Sifrei Halacha say that the Shliach Tzibor does not have to wait and can continue with Modim, and the Tzibor says Modim Dirabanan at the time that the Shliach Tzibor says Modim, that's fine. That I'm not sure. But I know that's a common thing amongst Talmidei Chachamim. Now, so we have this Rambam, Vakol Om Dimashomim. The Rambam not only doesn't say this, I think the Rambam says the opposite. I think that the Rambam does not hold that Chazaras HaShas is Tefillah of the Tzibor, and I think if you read the Rambam, it's just what it seems to say. Why do I say that? Not Stam because I like to be contrary, which may be true, but that's not the reason here necessarily, but rather I think that's what let's take a look. So first of all, Perek Chet Halacha Tet, Shliach Tzibor Motziyat HaRabim Yidei Chovatan. Now, if I stopped over there, that sounds exactly like what the Rav says, right? Yeah. It sounds much like what the Rav says. I would take that as a wonderful source in the Rambam. Except that that's not where the Rambam ends. The Rambam then continues, and what does he say? Bamed var mamurim kisha'eno yudei litpalel. That's true in a case where a person is enobaki, right? If a person doesn't know how to daven themselves, so then we say that Shliach Tzibor Motziyat Terabim Yidei Chovatan. And B'Shah Shehu Mitpalel, B'Heim Shomim Bonim Amen Achar Kol Bracha Bracha, Harei Heim Kimitpalelim. But Aval HaYudea Eino Yotzei Yidei Chovato Ela B'Tfilat Asmo. So, Enoch Nami, if we just had the first half of the sentence, it would be exactly what the Rav says. But when the Rambam says that that's not true in a case where we're dealing with people who have already davened their own Shmon Esrei, then the implications will happen. And we'll see what I'm saying about Halakha Tet. Unfortunately, I can't ask it, but I don't know, but I think that it's... I don't know.
But what does the Rav mean when he meant like Tefillah? It's a Tefillah of the Tzibor. What
Well, I think that by the time we finish, we'll have a better idea what that means. We will, because we are going to see Rishonim who really do hold this way. I'm not arguing that such an idea doesn't exist. I'm simply arguing that it's not what the Rambam says.
Okay, because I just don't understand. If the Shaliyah Tzibor, why does the Shaliyah Tzibor say to himself before he does Chazar HaShav, if he can be Yotzei in Chazar HaShav also?
Yeah, I wonder.
So that's discussed directly, right? And the reason that we're told why the Shaliyah Tzibor says his own Shema Esrei first is Kedei Lahasdir Tfilato. The question is what that means, and there are different interpretations of that, and I have nafkaminas. In other words, so it's unclear what exactly that means. One possibility is
the Rambam says Kedei Lahasdir
Tfilato. If I'm not saying, I think the Gemara says that the but the question is what it means, and there are different understandings of it. Okay, or perhaps we'll get to discuss. But basically, and the question is, as one possibility is that it's a preparation for doing Chazaras Hashem. In other words, that it's like a rehearsal before he does Chazaras Hashem. Remember, originally it was done Baal Peh, wasn't done.
But was he
Yotzei
for his first Tfilah?
So it may well be that Lav Davka, just that's so that he should be prepared to do Chazaras Hashem. You know, first goes over it. That's one way of understanding it.
But everyone else has it to themselves also. So it's not like, if you say he said it to himself because he was preparing to say it out loud for everybody, fine. But for everyone else, it wasn't a rehearsal.
Right, because the point is...
But they're not supposed to use it.
No, so that is saying that's... So they have their individual tefillah, where they're actually saying it, and then there's this tefillah that's done Ayidei Shmia, which is a communal tefillah, right? But for him, he's actually going to say the next one. So the question is, why, you know... There's another possibility, which is that it means that's his personal tefillah. The second Shemona Esrei is the communal tefillah. There are different ways of understanding it. And it has various nafkaminas. For example, what happens if someone is in a place where they daven Nusach Sfar, let's say, and he personally davens Nusach Ashkenaz, and he's just Shiach Tzibur? Right? So which Shemona Esrei does he say when he says his silent Shemona Esrei?
Right.
So that depends on how you understand this idea of Lahasdir Tfilato, right? In other words, because if it means that's a preparation, it's a kind of rehearsal, so then it makes sense that he rehearses what he's going to actually say. And since when he's davening out loud, right, he has to say the Nusach of the Tzibor, so he should prepare the Nusach of the Tzibor. On the other hand, if the pshat is that it's his personal tefillah, right? So it gives him an opportunity to say his own bakasha or whatever, right? And he can be, you know, on a personal level. And then he's going to say the tefillah for the tzibor. So then it would make sense that he would say the first one in the sahasha and the second one in the zosbar, right? So they're actually tshuvot about this, and it really depends on how you understand that idea. Okay, but that's not our topic. I'm just mentioning parenthetically since you asked about it. But I want to show you another Rambam. And this Rambam, I think, is particularly very powerful. And it will lead us into what I really want to discuss with you. Shmona Dvarim Tzarchan Pal Hizar Behen Vilasotan. So the Rambam says in Perek Hay that there are eight categories of things that a person needs to be concerned about, to be careful about when he davens. And then he says that if it's not possible, or he didn't do it, or whatever, it's not ma'akif. Right? These are how you're supposed to do it. If you didn't do it, it doesn't pass your tefillah. The Eluhain, what are those eight things? Remember, the Rambam says there are eight things. Number one is Amida. Number two is Nochach HaMikdash. Right? Facing towards the Beit HaMikdash. The first is that you're standing. The second one is Nochach HaMikdash. Number three is Tikkun HaGuf. Follow carefully. Okay? So number one is Amida. Not number two, even. Which would be significant anyhow, but even more so. Number three is Tikkun HaGuf. Okay? What is number one? Amida. So Amida means Ketzad Emipal Ela Me'umad. You have to be standing. Hayyoshiv is spinov, agalam, yachalam, yamo, if not, right, etc. Okay? So l'chatchila, you know, it's me, if the situation permits it, right? You're able to stand, so you should stand for Shmona Esrei, as opposed to, then it's clear what it was mean to be omer, as opposed to be yoshev. We skip from halacha bet to halacha dalet. Halacha gimel deals with nochach hamikdash, of course, right? That's category number two. We go to category number three. Tikun aguf keitza. Kishuo mei b'tfilat tzarich l'chaveinet raglav zo b'tzad zo. When you daven, you're supposed to put your legs together, put your feet together. So that's part, it's not the only aspect, but it's part of the one of the aspects of tikun aguf. What you see from this Rambam, I think, absolutely clearly is that there are two different halachot, one of standing and one of having your feet together. Those are two different halachot. If the Rambam tells me in Perek Tet, Halacha Gimel, that during Chazarat Hashatz, you have to be omeid, okay? What does Amida mean? Amida means that you have to stand as opposed to sit. It does not include putting your feet together. So number one, on a technical level, you want to disagree with the Rambam or follow other shita, fine. But when you're talking about the shita of the Rambam, it seems to me, beferish, that the Rambam does not require you to stand with your feet together in standing in one place or in those things for Chazaras Hashatz. The Rambam says to stand as opposed to sit. So just on a level of halacha, I don't think that the Rambam says what is commonly done by, you know, Talmid of the Rambam and, you know, in terms of the what they do per se. But it has tremendous implications. It has tremendous implications because I would argue that if in fact we take the Amida that the Rambam talks about in Chazaras Hashatz as a symptom of the fact that you are considered to be participating, right, in the tefillah, in a sense that it's considered as if you are mitpalel, in the words of the Rambam, that Shriya Tzibur Motzei Tarabim Keitz B'Shash Mitpalel V'Hem Shomim V'Onim Amen Achar Kol Bracha Harei Hein Kimitpalelim. Again, the Rambam is talking about Eino Baki, right? He's talking about someone who didn't say their own Shemona Esrei. But if we were to say that were true, as the Rabbi, I believe, does, in terms of Chazaras Hashas for everyone, then it would have to be, the Rambam would have to say that you should do the eight things that you have to do. Dachan Amida. What about putting your feet together? What about Nochach HaMikdash? What are all these things? What if you're standing and you're not Nochach HaMikdash? Very difficult to say that. You know, if you look at all the things, there are eight different things. Are they all included in Amida? They're not. The Rambam has them as different categories, right? It's not even like one builds on the other and, okay, you know, it's one's a detail. One's number one, one's number three. These are different things. So, true, the Rambam says that you should be omeid. And let's grant that Amida means to stand and not just to be still. But still there's no implication for the fact that it's considered as if you're davening. Whereas if you were davening, you have to stand. Why is it that we take halacha number one, right, as being a consequence of the fact that you're considered to be davening, and not two, three, and so on? And if that were true, the Rambam has to say that, because the Rambam spells out very clearly in Parakeh that these are different things. And since they're separate things, he can't just say Vakol Omdim and assume that includes all these other things that are not part of the definition of Amida, right? They were all. If this were how you do Amida, then it wouldn't be eight things. It would be, you know, whatever number it would be. Let's say, you know, it would be a much shorter list with more details within each thing. But that's not the case. And therefore, I would argue that Lehefech Vakol Omdim v'shomim proves not that it's Tefillat HaTzibur, but that it isn't Tefillat HaTzibur.
Maybe I'm misunderstanding this, but I thought that the part you felt that we were going to have a problem with.
Yeah. Good. Baruch Hashem. Forward. Let's move on.
Wait, I just...
You spoke too soon.
I don't know what to say about the
Go ahead.
He doesn't, like, and he was like...
Not that I'm aware of. I'm not claiming to. I have asked, I say I've done a thorough job by any means. I mean, I have asked people, when I've heard this presented or discussed, I have people, I've asked, again, I can't say that there's some things I've had, more opportunity or taken more opportunity to discuss and argue about, and this is not one of them. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm just telling you, I'm just pointing out that as far as I see, I don't think it's what the Rambam says. I have more reason for saying what I'm saying, but... Again, I don't, basically, I think what he's saying is that there are two chiyuvim of tefillah. One chiyuv is that you, again, I'm assuming, one chiyuv is my personal tefillah as an individual. And another is that the tzibur, as a tzibur, is supposed to be mitpala. And the way you do that is that you have a person who is the representative of the tzibur, and all the other, everyone else participates, right, in that tefillah through shmia. Okay.
So
I don't know the answer to that. What would Rav say to this? I don't know. But I'm trying to deal with what it seems that the Rambam is saying. Yeah.
Maybe this first point. So he says. So what would and then he said, you don't have to make that memory, da da da. But then in Halakha Gimel, it says, when you're not made up of Rafa, being able to look at three days for a time, being able to pray three days for a time. In other words, everyone needs to say Amen.
Correct.
And anyone who says Amen is Kinney's Palah.
Whether you're Yote or Yahweh,
but one second, you just added a very important thing that's not in the Rambam, right?
Wait, what did you say? What did you
mean?
I don't know.
Okay. In other words, in Halacha Gimel, right? In Halacha Gimel, he says that whether you were Yotze or not, right, you are supposed to be Shomea, it's supposed to be Omeid, Shomea, and Ona Ameid. I don't deny that in the least. However, what you added is that, and thereby, it's considered as if you are being with Paleh.
Right.
And that the Rambam doesn't say, and the reason I'm making a big deal about the fact that he doesn't say it is because in Perakhet Halacha Tet, he does say the idea of Vehem Shomim Va'onim Amen Achav Bracha Bracha, and therefore Harehein Kimit Palin. But there he says specifically that it's only true by someone who did not say their own Shemona Esrei because they didn't know to daven on their own. You see what I'm saying? So. Right? So here in Halacha Chet, he says explicitly that this point is is only true in the case of Eino Baki. In Halacha, in Perek Tet Halacha Gimel, he doesn't say that idea at all in the place where he talks about being that there are Baki Bein Eino Baki and Bein Yotze or not Yotze. So you know what I'm saying? It's like. So I'm not. No, he says Bein Elu Sheyatsu, but he says it in reference to what? to what you do, not to the fact that it's Harehen Kimipalim.
Right.
So where he talks about Harehen Kimipalim, he limits it.
Yeah.
The place where he expands it, he doesn't say Harehen Kimipalim.
Yeah.
Right. So to say that it's true in general that they're Harehen Kimipalim without limitation.
Then why actually?
So, right. So, it's going against what he says beferish in Perek Tet, and reading in something that he doesn't say in Perek Tet.
But I mean, you probably could read it in that he said it that he wouldn't say.
Yeah, I'm not. I understand. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, no, it's not ki'ilu, there's a stira between Perek Chet and Perek Tet, and okay, well, which one are you taking? In one case, it's an assumption, and in one case, it's beferish, right? So obviously, you read the place where it's not, you either take where it's beferish and use that to tell you how to read the one that's not beferish, not the other way around.
Yeah.
That's what I would think. Food for thought. Again, it's, you know, a step along the way. Something to think about. But I think that there are more things. You look at the Rambam has a tshuva in which he talks about the idea, it's a famous tshuva in the Rambam, where he talks about the idea that he talks about Chazar HaShatz being for the purpose of being Motzi Einam Bekiyam, right? And he discusses the question of, so what happens if, what about if you have a tzibur and everyone's a bat, right? So then is the Chazar HaShatz a bunch of brachal about halas, right? Because you're not being multi anyone. Now, and what's the answer? So now, if you ask the Rav what the answer to that, what's the answer to it? Exactly. What do you mean, brachal batal? We need to have tefillah hatzibur, right? That was only the tefillah of the yechidim. Now we have, that was tefillah bitzibur. Now we want to have tefillah hatzibur, right? And the question is not even a question. So the Rambam's answer is that the Rambam talks about the Ra, etc., that there are cases where chachamim were metaken to do a certain thing because of a particular scenario, but they didn't say that you only do it in that situation. Like Kiddush and Shalom Friday night to be motzi orchim, and you don't get up in the end of time and say, okay, are there any orchim here? Anyone who's homeless in the tzibur, right? You don't do that. We say that we provide a kiddush for lahotzi. She said the Rambam, you say kiddush lahotzi et orchim. But not case by case, but because, oh, that's why they were metaken it, but they were, therefore it's not a brachal vatal, because chacham were metaken that you have to do it each and every time, because sometimes there will be orchim. So too, we don't want to have a situation where, I'm not saying the Rambam says every one of these words, but this is the basic idea in the Rambam. We don't have a situation where you get up in shul and say, okay, anyone here ignorant? Any amaratzim in shul who can't say Shemona Esrei on their own? Then we'll have a shliach, we'll have a chazar hashatz. No, we have a chazar hashatz because we may have a situation where we need to be motzi people. So therefore, we have a chazar hashatz. But it doesn't have to be that. Then that, each and every case. But we see very clearly in the Rambam is, right? It's very clear in that tshuva, that what is
the sole purpose
what is the purpose? It's to be motzi et sheino baki, right? Now, the hotzi et sheino baki is not like, a radical chiddush. The radical chiddush is that's the whole, the whole point of it. But the implication of the Rambam and the truth. So there are those who will say, that we don't use the tshuva of the Rambam to interpret Mishnah Torah. And that's a debatable point, but saying is, here it's not like, okay, well, it's the Rambam Mishnah Torah seems to be saying this, and the Tshuva seems to be saying that, it's a contradiction. On the contrary, it's a support for what the Rambam, I think, is clueless, and it's just, I'm not saying that that's the reason that I say the Pshat and the Mishnah Torah the way they are. The reason I say the Pshat and the Mishnah Torah is because Hakol Omdim is not the same as standing for Shemoneh Esrei. And therefore, Hakol Omdim is a Raya Lehefech. It's a Raya Listor. And the Rambam talks about the idea of Harehim Kemit Palin, but he limits it to a case of Heinobaki, where you're not Yotzeh. So, I just don't see where, I think down the contrary, the Rambam does not belong to that school. I have another secondary reason for believing that this is not the Sheet of the Rambam. But that requires a little more work before we can see that. But as Hashem will see it, it's the other reason that I have for saying it is not something that It's not something that in and of itself proves the point, but it certainly fits well with this framework. Okay? So, you know, again, the real rayas are here. What do we say about it? I don't know. I don't know what the Rambam say about it. My primary interest is in understanding to the best of my ability what the Rambam says. Okay, so I just want to point out that this, I know it's a very, very famous, popular interpretation about Tefillah Hatzi, or Tefillah Bitzi, or, you know, you can't go very far without hearing this pshat. And I think that, again, I don't think the idea is a bad idea. I think that there are Rishonim who say that. I just don't think the Rambam is one of them. And I want to point out what kind of it is. Which brings us to an obvious question. If I'm correct that the Rambam is machalik between Amida and between all of the Shmona Dvarim, Tzarach Mepala, etc., right? And that when the Rambam says Vakol Omdim Vishom, that does not mean that's Ki'ilu Yerepala, so why are you Omen? Why does the Rambam say you're Omen? So, I think the answer to that is very simple. It's also very, very significant. And it's a very, very important point here. The Gemara in Brachon Laman Aleph and Bet says, Ani ha'ishayin tzevet imcha bazeh, right? Talking about Chana, obviously. Chana says to Eli that she is the woman who is standing together with you in this matter. So, Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Mikan sha'asur le'shei b'toch arba amot shol tefillah. Right, so this is the source and a discussion exactly how we derive from here. But in any case, the idea that a person who's within a radius of Dalet Amos of Amid Palel is supposed to stand. Now, do they have to stand with their feet together? Do they have to face Mizrah or whatever, face the Mikdash? Right? I don't think so. I don't think there's any, you know. But they have to stand. Why have to stand? So Rav Haigon explains, the true Rav Haigon, it's called the Yotzar Gaonim, which Rav Haigon explains, and basically found in Gemara, it's a fascinating tshuva. Rav Haigon says like this, do we have an Yotzar Gaonim here? I don't remember seeing it, but everyone knows what the Yotzar Gaonim is? Very, very important sefer. Very, very important sefer. You should at least be aware. It is on Gemara, right? The Otzar Gaonim is a sefer that the original Otzar Gaonim, which goes back, I'm not good with years, but about 100 or so years, if I'm not mistaken, something like that, give or take 50, 100, whatever, but something like that, is an incredible, incredible work. The original set starts at Brachot and goes through, if I'm not mistaken, a little bit into the Babas, like I think it goes through Baba Kama and the beginning of Baba Metzia, or the beginning of Baba Kama, something like that. But it goes through, you know, Brachot and Moed and Nashim and a little bit of Mezikin. Since then, other people have put out supplementary volumes, a couple of volumes of Baba Batra and a volume of Sanhedrin, whatever. But the original set was, you know, through a good part of Shas, not all, but a good part of it, and collected, it was done by particular Gadol is tremendous, who put together this incredibly, for a moment, I think his name, if I'm not mistaken, someone was very involved in stuff with Gaonim, and if I'm not mistaken, his name was Levin, I could be wrong.
Like a temporary
Levin? Yeah, it was, as I said, about like 100 years ago, so.
Oh, okay, right. Oh, I thought, okay, fine. I was confused about it.
So he put together, like, all the material from the Gaonim, stuff that it was in collections of Gaonim that were printed, things that were in citations, like the Or Zeruah quotes, you know, a line from the Gaonim here, there's something in the Shilta, you know, the Shilta is from the Gaonim, pieces, relevant pieces from the Shilta, the Bahag, the Aruch, when the Aruch quotes Gaonim, but like all of the Ramban quotes, whatever it is, all the material from the Gaonim, including things that were only in manuscript, right, tons of stuff from the Gaonim, in the Seder of Shas. Okay? It's a tremendous, tremendous resource, an incredible, incredible sefer. You have there a tshuva of Rav Haigon, which Rav Haigon says the following. It's basically based on Gemara, not just in Brahma, it says something very interesting. It says that a person like this, that a person, let's go back a step. Really worth seeing the tshuva of Rav Haggadon, but I don't think we have here, so we'll have to remember. I'll try to bring it in.
We're not talking
about it? Well, no. I was going to say that I want to back up for a second. There's a famous Reb Chaim, right? The famous Reb Chaim, where he talks about the different types of kavana for tefillah. Okay? Where he's fought between different types of kavana, right? Resolve, different things the Ram says about what type of kavana needs to be yotze in the first, right, in the beginning of Shmosra, and the rest of Shmosra, right? Okay, anyhow, so he has this explanation about that, you know, if you're not aware that you're omid lifnei hashchina, so it's a, you know, it's like the mis'aseg, you know, it's clearly you're not aware of the action that you're doing, as opposed to if you're not, you know, aware of the, you know, if you're not paying attention to the meaning of the words, etc. And the basic idea that's found in Reb Chaim is already found much earlier in Reb Haggadon, 1,000 years earlier in Reb Haggadon. I'm not saying that he had that. I'm saying that it's interesting. People call him in the name of Reb Chaim. I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't say anything that's not there, but basically, it's found in Reb Haggadon. It's not to the detriment of Reb Chaim. I'm saying lehefech. But it's, you know, it's just nice to be aware that things are quoted, you know, to know the real sources. And Reb Haggadon says, it's a very terse Reb Haggadon, but it says basically the following idea. It's like this. That why do we say here that it's aser leisha b'toch arba amos shel tefillah? Because the arba amos shel tefillah is considered to be makom shchina. Okay, considered to be makom shchina. Now listen to what he says next. He says teida, and you can see this in the following fact that a person who doesn't take 3 steps back at the end of Shemoneh Esrei is not Yotze at all. That's what Rav Haggadon says. It's beautiful. What's Rav Haggadon saying? Saying that that when you're davening, what are you doing? You're only looking at Shchina. And therefore, if a person is standing davening Shemoneh Esrei, they're only looking at Shchina. So the place where they're standing in a makom is Dalet Amot. So the place that they're standing is considered to be makom Shchina because they're only looking at Shchina. And therefore, since that's what tefillah is, right? If you finish Shmoneh and you just walk away, you don't take leave of the Shechina, it shows you didn't have any awareness of the fact that you were davening, you were only looking at Shechina. And that's why, if you don't take 3 steps back when you finish davening, it's clearly you didn't daven at all. That's what Chaim is not saying, right? You know what I'm saying? Right? That's what Rav Haggadon says. Again, Rav Haggadon says very briefly, but that's the idea of Rav
Haggadon. Well, if you just daven and you walk away,
shows that you weren't aware. If you were aware that you're only looking at Shechina, realize that you have to, you know, you have to take leave. You don't just, you know, you have to walk out of Hashem's presence, right? So the point is that Rav Haggadon, right? Rav Haggadon explains this Gemara to mean that why is it that you have to why do you have to stand in Dal Amot Shel Tefillah, right? Because there's an awareness that you're in Hashem's presence, and therefore, I've covered, you have to stand. Right? So, I think that we have a fascinating idea here. That, number one, we have to understand, why does he have to stand down on the Shul Tefillah? Stand down on the Shul Tefillah because there's an awareness, and it was because someone else is davening, so I'm aware Hashem's presence is everywhere. But why is it that Davka Dal Amos Shel Tefillah? Because since that person is Omid Mitpalel, right, therefore I participate in that on the level that it raises my awareness, right, of that's a Makom Shechina, and so I have to stand and cover for the Shechina. Fine. But there's another halach. I have to stand with my legs together, with my feet together, right? Where does that come from? What's that based on? So, as you saw, the Gemara in Bracha on Yudim Ben and the Yerushalmi talks about the idea that Hamitpal Sar Shechavin Amar Glav Shneimar V'Raglayim Regel Yusharah. The Yerushalmi explains what's that all about. So, it talks about the Malachim, and what do we find by the Malachim? That they had only one leg, right? And it's cute, one leg, one straight leg without joints, without separation between the two legs. And what that, of course, means is that their legs are not legs in the same sense that our legs are. We're able to walk, we're able to move, we're able to, you know, decide to go from here to there. Not so the malachim. How do malachim move? So if you look in Yechezkel Perek Aleph, for example, you see that it talks about the idea that, can you read this for a second? So Yechezkel Perek Aleph.
So funny, because I learned this through like modern poetry, Hebrew modern poetry. It's like the PUT that different people are on, like the learning problem, which I have no idea about. And it talks about
modern, like PUT, like medieval.
Yeah. It's like Zazim, the Lord of the
What
is it? Yeah, Hebrew Mazim.
Yeah, Shirat Farad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's just so weird, like we're learning. But it's so funny because it helps me out with Tanakh.
Okay, so it says like this. The malachim, that although they were not able to walk, they were very mobile. And it says the following, after describing about how they moved around, how they zipped around, etc. Pasuk Chaf says like this. Al asher yesham haruach alecha yilechu. Okay. And the idea, I think, of the Yerushalmi and extension of Bavli over here, in this halachim, palatzar shechavin at raglav, what does it mean? So what does it mean if we stand with our legs straight and our feet together? It's impossible to walk like that, right? If you're imagine someone like, you know, tied up or whatever, you know, you can't move because, you know, in order to move, you have to separate your legs and you have to bend your knees. And that's not what we don't do in Shimon Esra, right? Just like the Malachim. And I think the idea is a very beautiful idea, namely that we're showing that in order for us to get from place A to place B, in order for us to move to get to a different place in life, that we're not capable of independent movement, of saying, okay, I'm just going to walk over and go from here to there. But which is really the foundation of tefillah, right? The idea that I have to turn to Hashem in order to be able to get what I need. As opposed to saying, kochi v'otzem yadi, right? So the standing really up yishara, and that's really the idea that we have in terms of bakasha, right? That in general, that why is tefillah called avodah shebelev when I'm mivakesh, because it's a reflection of a belief that it's, you know, that I need to turn to Hashem for what I want, for what I need, and that's indicated by standing with my legs together and straight, showing that, like the malachim, I'm only able to go where Hashem pushed me, directly, etc. That's the idea of the bakasha. Yeah.
Can you tell me this makes sense? When you said that, I was thinking that like with us, we can bend our knees and walk wherever we want, and we have the fear, right? But the malachim, they're actually, they can't move, they have no fear in them. And Rambam, I think, talks about like, if you really knew the true reason behind why you do mitzvah and stuff like that, it would be like if you had no fear, like you would always do what Hashem wanted you to do. So like, it's kind of like when you're in the presence of the Shechina, is it if you're on the status of a malach, like,
Okay, perhaps I understand that way. And the reason I explain it the way I am is simply because I think that it connects to the idea of what it is that I'm doing in tefillah. In other words, what I'm doing in tefillah is that I'm recognizing that I'm dependent on God, and that therefore I you know, and which is reflected in my turning to God and asking for things. Okay? So I'm saying that I'm not in control of my own health and my own, finances and so on. So I have to, you know, and so on down the line. I had to turn to Hashem for everything. Reglam, regularly Shema. Now, so what I'm saying is that there are these ideas which are, and on a certain level, that's really the idea of recognizing that I'm in Hashem's presence, right? Recognizing the idea of that I'm not in my world, I'm in God's world, and that's part of this recognition being only with Nashvina. But let's go a step further. Okay, let's go a step further. Because as the Rambam explains in Maran Bukhim, it's that there's a relationship between the idea of Hashkacha and the idea of Shrina. Okay? So I just want to take this a step further and suggest the following idea. I have to stand when I'm in Dal Amos Shul Tefillah, because I have this, because I'm staying next to someone, I'm next to someone who's davening, that makes me aware of Hashem's presence, that Hashem's in control of things, that there's this hashgacha in the world, and I'm not in control, and that therefore I'm dependent on God. That's the awareness of Shina that causes me to stand. On the other hand, that's what a person who's davening is doing, right? A person who is davening, what are they doing? They're being aware of the fact that, you know, God's in control, that Hashem is running the world, that they are dependent, and that they need to turn to Hashem. So the question then becomes, and what's the difference between the mitpalel and the omei b'toch dal amot shel tefillah? What's the difference between the two? I understand that's the symptom of it. But why is there this difference? I think that the difference is like this. This is where the Ran, based on the Ran, the Gemara Brachot, etc., come in. So the Ran, I think it's worth reading this Ran, it's an incredible Ran. V'chi yitpateh ha'adam v'yomar lo yuchal lasig zeh ha'shleimut ki'im b'chachma yiterah v'idiyat ha'torah al ha'shleimut. Nashiveu v'nomar ein safek sh'talmud Torah s'charo gadol ma'ot. We're not denying that Talmud Torah is a great thing. We're all in favor of learning Torah. Hachemru razal v'ter kash baruch ha'var zara v'gilin rai sh'gudam v'lo v'ter al Talmud Torah. Ratzal omar ki elu ashol shahayu v'bet mish v'shom v'lo talach v'ban rak v'bitul Torah. Kamro az v'ma Torah te'i v'afal p'ikein ro'er v'divrei chazal. Shemi shemoser gufo v'nafshol Hashem yibarach v'choshek b'avodato yasig madrega gidola yoter mimi sheyeb tachlit hachachma. Incredible, incredible. Right? Amina b'brachot. Mai shna kamai is one of those many misprints that you have from DBS. It's always preferable to use Bar Ilan if you have a choice, but not everything is in Bar Ilan. Sometimes DBS, not Bar Ilan. Sometimes you have to settle for less perfect text. Okay, anyhow. So, Maishna kamay d'mitrachash lunisa, Maishna batray d'lo mitrachash lunisa, right? Advanced Gemara and Brachot, imishim tnuyek, because of learning, so they had greater Torah than we did. They had, you know, more learning than we did. But, I'm sorry, lehapach, we have greater learning than they did, right? So we have more, you know, more people learning more and so on. That's not it. By tat shuva, ela rachmana li babai, right? The famous Gemara is popularized by the Chovas HaVavot, right? That El Rachmana Li Babai. Hine, that God desires the heart. Hine bi'aru ki eini kara madrega ha'chachma v'alkavana shleima v'masim ha'tovim ki ha'masim ha'tovim ein tachlit v'mafem she'asum ha'tovim kavanat ha'lev b'hem. Ro'u inyan kavana mahu ki mi she'kavanato dvekut b'Hashem yitbarach gam k'shu mitasek b'dvarim hamuniyim. A person goes to work, goes to the store, goes to buy, and their kavanah is l'shem shamayim. They're trying to do everything in a way that is l'shem shamayim. They're going in there, the way they interact with the person, you know, the salesperson, with the person who they're doing business with, whatever it is all in the manner of kiddush Hashem. And they're acting in a way that, right, their focus is on avot Hashem. Okay. Incredible things is that a person can be in the supermarket and being Oved Hashem. A person can be, you know, davening, putting on tefillin, singing the Beis Medrash, and lehepach, chas v'shalom, could be considered merit. Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Depends on that's rachmana libabai. So, and the Ran is saying very clearly that it's not, the Ikar is not totally on how much Chachma and how, you know, and how much Torah, you know, etc., as much as that's very important. But nonetheless, that's not the Ikar, Rahman Ali Babai. I think that that's the key to understanding everything we've seen here. In other words, we have two individuals. One is davening Shmoneh Esrei, and the other person is standing betoch Da'al Amot Shel Tefillah. The person who is davening has an awareness of being Omei Lefnei Hashchina, has an awareness of being of Hashem's Hashkacha, of being dependent on Hashem, etc. The person standing next to him and seeing this person davening is also attaining an awareness of Hashem's presence, of Hashkacha, and so on and so forth, because I see this person davening, I see this person's asking for their needs. So I see also this idea that we're dependent on God, and so on and so forth. What's the chiluk between the two? There's the chiluk between the two. Rahman Ali Babai. In other words, there's a difference between the person who's davening, who's engaged in begging Hashem for whatever they need, and thereby experiencing that need, experiencing that dependency, experiencing that amigal knashina, and the person who is the observer of it, who experiences it, but not on an experiential level, but only on a cognitive level. Right? In other words, the person who is actually davening, who engaged, it's not just an intellectual awareness that we're dependent on God. It's something that we're actually experiencing. Right? I'm saying, you know, begging Hashem for pranas, whatever it is. That then I have that awareness of hashgacha, of shchina, etc. in an experiential way. That I'm actually doing it, I'm actually living it, as opposed to the person who's betoch Da'al Amot Shel Tefillah. What are they doing? Right? They also experience it, but not in an experiential way, not in an act way, not in a way that they're actually living it. They're experiencing it cognitively. They're aware of it because it's an awareness, because I see this person dominant. And that's the difference between the two. That's why the person who is actually experiencing, how's that expressed? The fact that they're standing there with their legs straight and together, etc., and that they're actually experiencing the fact that they're dependent, that the person who is in the Da'al Amot, so they have an awareness of God's presence, so therefore they have to be omed out of kavod. It's not the same as experience. It's not the same as living. It's not the same as actually being a model of that idea. That's why I think the distinction between the betoch Da'al Amot, in terms of the difference as expressed itself between amida and between the whole package of things that are expressed by kavod, raglav, etc. And that's why I'm going to sense that's why I think if I'm in shul, in the Shia Tzibor, saying Chazar Hashas, so I'd argue that if I'm a member of the Tzibor, right, even if I'm not Betoch Da'al Amot, the same halacha of Betoch Da'al Amot applies. In other words, Da'al Amot, we know sometimes halakhically refers to Da'al Amot, and sometimes you have like the entire room, the entire, you know, whatever, can be like Da'al Amot, because it's all one makom with respect to this thing. If there is Chazaras Hashatz going on, it's not stam that there's another person davening Shmon Esrei, but it's my Shaliach Tzibor. I'm part of the Tzibor, and he's my Shaliach, right? And theoretically, he could be motzi me in Shmon Esrei if I were in need of it. It may be that I don't particularly need that, and I'm able to daven Shmon Esrei or anything, so I'm not. The fact of the matter is that there's a connection, there's a relationship between me and him as a member of the Tzibor, even though I'm not davening at the moment, even though I'm not only betoch Da'al Amot, for the same reason that a person who is betoch Da'al Amot has this vicarious recognition of Makom Shechina, if I'm a member of the Tzibor where it's not stam another person standing, you know, in that corner, and I'm sitting here doing my, you know, I'm sitting here learning, that person's davening Shmoneh Esrei in that corner. So if it's not betoch my Da'al Amot, my Da'al Amot, if I'm in the same Da'al Amot, so then I have that, there's a connection between me and what's going on with that person davening. If not, if they're off in the corner and I'm over here, so I can do my thing and they're doing their thing. But if I'm a member of the Tzibor and it's Chazaras Hashas, so I don't think it's hard to understand Va'kol Omdim Mishom that there should be this, but that's a halacha of Kavod. That's not a halacha, that's a recognition that I've been where it's from Shechina, so out of Kavod I stand. It's not the same as being an active participant in Tefillah. That's a different thing entirely. Being an active participant in tefillah, and that's where I think there's a difference between what the Rambam talks about Amida in Perek Tet, and the Rambam's discussion of the whole package of halachot, of the eight halachot in Perek Hei. And I think that that is indicative of, you know, and I think that this, you know, works very well in the framework of understanding that we're talking about is something other than Tefillat HaTzibur. We return to the idea of Tefillat HaTzibur, but I'm not saying that's a rejected idea. I'm saying that I don't think we necessarily have to assume that that's what I'm saying. I wanted to just first of all show that the that I think that there is this dichotomy in the Rambam, and number two, to try to explain a little bit what the idea behind these two halachot, one of Amida and one of Tikkun HaGuf, what they represent. And I think that it has thrown through the prism of the Gemara and Bracha, the Ran, etc., that this is kind of a model for different modes of religious experience that, that that is very, very significant. As important as the cognitive level is, learning, etc., that there is much more and perhaps a more central aspect to Avodas Hashem than the cognitive aspect. And that's what the Ran, again, based on this Gemara and Bracha, so on, discusses. Okay? And I think that it's certainly fascinating that, after all, and the Rambam certainly highlights this idea, makes a very big deal of it, the foundation of the whole Shita, that that what is Tefillah when I'm actually davening Zavoy Shavaleh. Exactly. That certainly fits very well with this understanding of Rahman Ali Rabbi. Okay.
Say that.